How's it going, everybody? Good? Great. Hey, well, my name's Harry, and I am from Wellington, and Arise Church in Wellington. Pastor John and Gillian send their hellos. Is that what you do? Yeah, you send hellos. Yeah, that'll work. But it's great to be here today and for our masterclass. How good has conference been already? Had a good conference so far? Hey, great to see you guys. Good to see you. It's been good, eh? This morning, Pastor Rich's message I thought was just incredible. And you know, it really flows in well to what we want to talk about today, which is about dynamic messaging to kids, how we create dynamic messages, how we can communicate effectively through dynamic messaging. But before we get started, I just wanted to honor a couple of people because I think that it's important. That comes off. Firstly, I want to just honor Pastor Paul and Marie. I know they're not in the room and they'll probably never hear this, but I think it would be good if we just show them a little bit of thank you, a little bit of honor for putting on this amazing conference, for giving us a space where we can encounter God and learn, be equipped and empowered. So I wondered if you could just give them a round of applause with me today and honor them. A massive thank you. Also, just want to take a moment and say a massive thank you to my own senior pastors, John and Gillian. You know, without them, I wouldn't be here right now. 6 years ago, I was working in the radio industry, and after 3 years of internship and being on staff for 3 years, I'm doing this now. And without them creating an environment where I can encounter God, be encouraged and equipped and empowered to make mistakes in the children's ministry, amen, and give it a go, I wouldn't be here today helping out and being with you. So I just wondered if you could, again, just show them some appreciation and honor them. Long distance honor. The last person, group of people I want to honor is just the Life Kids team. Man, like Lionel and the team, you guys are amazing. Your generosity is next level, and I really appreciate being here this week with you guys and for you putting on this for us, and appreciate it. So third and finally, can we honor Lionel and the kids team as well? Just amazing, amazing, amazing people. But I just thought I'd start by introducing myself again for the third time, because, you know, third time's a charm. My name's Harry, and I am from Wellington, and I've done 3 years of the internship program, which is now called the Arise Ministry School in Wellington. I started off as Pastor John's PA's PA, so my job was to run and get coffees and clean Pastor John's car. That was my job, and I did a good job. Apart from the first time I got Pastor John a coffee, I spilt it all over myself because I walked into a wall. Don't know how I did that. So after I failed at that, they moved me into kids, so that was great. And I did 2 years in kids ministry, and over the 2 years in kids ministry, that's really where I learned how to communicate and how to be an upfront presenter and to really get across the gospel message. And over those 2 years after that, I came on staff 2 days a week and started working more with our intermediate age kids, those 11 to 13-year-old nuggety, smelly, just prepubescent gems. And I started working with those guys, and then the year after that came on staff 3 days a week, then got employed full-time. And now my fiancé and I, we run Arise Kids 13 and under together, which is really awesome. I've actually got a photo of us, and I believe that it's here for us to come up. And I just wanted to show you how cute we are, and it is going to come. Is it going to come? Hopefully it's going to come. This is us. How good. Man, aren't we so good looking? Just use your imagination. It wouldn't be kids without some imagination, and so that's us. So that's really great. But Annalise's she's amazing. She's older than me, and she's really blessed by me and by my existence. So we're getting married in 15 weeks. Can't believe it. It's coming up soon. So pray for us. Amen. Amen. We need prayer. That'd be great. But today's topic is dynamic communication. And I'm going to say a bunch of stuff. And some of it will be real good. No doubt. Has to be. But some of it might not be that good. So just write down what's good and leave what you don't think is good. Just forget it. And it'll be for somebody else for sure. But I really want to encourage you to write down notes, to take notes, because I believe that in this session, this is not just a time where we're just going to yarn and it's going to be great, but I really believe God's going to start to speak to you. And my prayer is that after this, you would walk out different from the way you come in. Not necessarily a 10 out of 10 preacher, although that could be great, but maybe it's just something, one thing that you take away from today that you're like, you know what, this is actually what I'm going to put into practice in my life, and the way that I preach and the way that I communicate is going to be better because of it. So I want to encourage you to do that. Also, get the recordings from all of conference. Like, you can get the recordings, and they haven't told me to say this, but I really want to encourage you. So what I do is I get the recordings because I forget stuff real easy, even if I take notes. So having that moment where you can look back at conference and re-listen to things is really, really good. So I want to encourage you to do that. But first, I thought we'd start with a Bible verse. And in the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 10, this Bible verse really changed everything for me. When I read this and really got it in my heart, it changed everything about the way that I communicate to children and why I communicate. It says this in Judges 2, verse 10. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things that he had done for Israel. I'm challenged by that scripture because that scripture is telling us that there was a generation who knew about God, but then when they died and as they were dying, they forgot to tell another generation who was coming up underneath them about God and his goodness. So because of that, there was a generational gap, and we learn later that that generational gap caused them some problems. My job as a kids communicator is to make sure there is no generation gap. I want to make sure that every kid that is entrusted to me on a Sunday morning leaves knowing God's goodness. I want to make sure that when I preach, it's dynamic, because when it's dynamic, it's effective. There's nothing more boring than just standing, having a guy stand on stage and just talk in a monotone voice. You know, even as an adult. Imagine that as a kid. No thanks. You know, like, that would suck. So I've got to make sure that I'm dynamic, because I don't want to be boring, because I want to make sure that I land everything that I'm saying. I want to make sure that there's no generation gap. I really believe that God calls us as children's pastors and leaders to be effective in our communication. So that, and I wrote this down, I believe that because I believe that a generation will not drop off, but will draw near to God. I don't want to see a generation drop off from God. I want to see them draw near to God. I want to see them every Sunday morning, every conference opportunity, every moment that I get to communicate with kids. I want to see them draw near to God and not drop off. And so with that in mind, today the goal really is that I would be able to share something with you that I do that would help you. I'm not saying that I'm the best at this. I'm not saying that I'm a professional. Technically, I kind of am because I get paid to do it, but I'm not. Yeah. But the thing is that for us as a team, if this room even could catch one thing and we go back to our churches or our ministries and we learn how to communicate better and take our communication to another level, man, I really believe that we could rise up a generation that could see something amazing, could see genuine revival in this nation, and I really believe it. So with that in mind, I want to share with you 10 top tips to dynamic communication, okay? And you can write this down, Harry's 10 top tips to dynamic communication. We're going to go through it, and as we go through it, at the end, there's going to be time for some question and answers, so I'll do my very best to answer your questions, but I want to encourage you to, if you've got a question on anything that I'm saying, just write it down in your book, and then when it comes down, or in your notes, and when it comes to asking questions, just go back to those, and we can ask them so there's no awkward break in between that I have to fill, which would be great. But number one on Harry's 10 top tips, number one is your power is in your preparation. Your power is in your preparation, both spiritually and practically. Part of my job as an intern, I got employed while being an intern to work for Bibles and schools. And my job was to write the curriculum, then go out into the schools and deliver the curriculum. After 2 years of doing that, writing the curriculum and delivering the curriculum, I started to get what they call prideful. I started to think that I was all-knowing. I thought that I was the Bible. No. I thought that I was good enough not to spend any more time preparing than just writing curriculum. So after a while, I started to rock in, and I was like, look, I don't want to brag, but I was good. You know, like, I was actually pretty good. I rocked in, kids laughed, I left, kids were happy. But this one time I went in, I went in and I did no preparation. I woke up late, I didn't have breakfast, I had no coffee, I just hit the session, tired, grumpy, but I was like, it's all good because I wrote the curriculum, I'm the man. I hit the session and it failed. Like, everything sucked. Like, the kids came in and literally, I kid you not, a room full of kids were like, boo, I'm bored. I was like, hey, you don't know me, man. Just relax. You know, I'm trying. I left so angry and so disappointed from that session, and I got in the car and I was angry with God. I was like, God, I thought that you told me I would be a kids communicator. Why are you letting me fail up on that stage, man? You're supposed to have my back. And I was driving so angry with God, and God arrested my heart and said, Harry, your power is in your preparation. And I was like, what do you mean? And he said, well, your power is in your preparation because when you prepare, you're in my presence. And your power comes out of the overflow of my presence. See, I want you to know, as a kids communicator, there is no junior Holy Spirit. There's no junior Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that communicates about Peter walking on the water. It's the same Jesus, it's the same Spirit that saw revival break out and healings break out in the Bible that still to this day see healings done now in our day and age. And as kids communicators, it's so important that we make sure that we are plugged in to God's presence. If we're not plugged into God's presence, we have no power to communicate the gospel. Man, like the question for us is how much God have I got? How much God have I got in my life? Nutrigrain, put it like this, you only put out what you put in. So if we're not putting God in, we're not putting him out. So if we're not putting him out, but I'm holding a microphone, then all I'm putting out is myself. And who knows that that's not always a good thing. Like as much as we think that we're awesome, you know, like I would much rather communicate the power of God than the failure of me, you know, like. So the question for us is how much God are we getting in? Because we want to make sure that we're plugged into his presence because that's where we get our power from. You know, I had this phrase that's been stuck in my head all year, and it's this phrase that just simply says, I want to be saturated in his spirit. I want to be soaked in his spirit. I want to be sopping in his spirit. I just want to be like, I want to walk around. And you know like when you've been in a pool and you like walk and you see like your water trail behind you? That's what I want to be like when I'm communicating. I want to see living water just flowing off of me when I'm touching these kids, when I'm talking to these kids, when I'm communicating to these kids. I want to make sure that out of the overflow of God's presence, my power comes. And I think that makes sense. For me, this is what I do. I prep like I'm preaching to adults, but I preach like I'm playing with kids. I prep like I'm preaching to adults. You know, like if you were preaching to adults, like you would be like, 1,000% don't talk to me, I'm locked in my Bible study. You know, like, no distractions, I'm focused. Because adults, they are judgy, okay? Like, so I'm going to make sure that I'm, like, prepared totally. But when I get to preaching, I want to preach like I'm playing with kids. Because if I preach like I'm preaching to adults, well, then they're just going to miss it. So when I'm preaching, I got to make sure that I'm relatable. I got to make sure that I'm down on their level. But I want to make sure that I know that God is connected with me as though I was preaching to adults. So I'm going to prep like I'm preaching to adults, but I'm going to preach like I'm playing with kids. Practically though, like what does that look practically? Well, a couple of questions. Do I know my material? Do I actually know what I'm saying? Or am I just kind of getting up there and kind of just being real back foot about it? You gotta know your material. I'd encourage you not to preach off paper, but preach out of your heart. Preach out of your heart. Don't preach off paper. Don't stand behind something and just stand still and just read. Like, that's boring. I was about to say no one likes reading, but I keep saying it and kids are like, I like reading. You know, it's like, okay, relax, okay. I don't like reading. The thing is that we got to make sure that if we're being dynamic, dynamic isn't standing still. Dynamic is moving, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. But, man, do you know your material practically? And also, don't preach from paper, but preach from your heart. This will allow you to connect better, and when we connect, we can be effective and we can be dynamic. Number two, define your destination. Define your destination. Do you know where you want your message to go? Because if you don't, they won't. Do you know where you want your message to arrive? Because if you don't, they won't. Under my message titles, I always write the goal. I have the message title, then I have the goal. What's the one thing that I want these kids to walk away with? The thing about my goal is that if I hit that goal, then I win. It's an achievement. I hit the goal and I'm the man. Like I walk off, I'm like, I just did the goal. It's good. The goal for me might be like, at the end of this message, every kid would know that God loves them more than they did when they came in. That's my goal. So my message, that's where I want this message to go. I want my message to go to the point where every kid will know that God loves them. When I define the destination, it's easy to get there. When I define the destination, it's easy to drive the car there. You know, like if you're like, man, I'm so blessed to have a driver this weekend because Auckland's just hard to get. Like, I don't understand. I just plug in my music and just let him drive me here. You know, like, but the thing is if they're like, hey, go to Life Conference, and you like get in your car and you're like, man, let's go. You could end up anywhere. Or in Auckland traffic in the same space that you were an hour later, you know, like you just one space. But the thing is that if you define your destination, okay, you're going to go to the place opposite Rainbow's Inn. You're going to take this turn, that turn, drive that way for ages, sit in traffic for 3 days, and then you'll get there at the end of the conference and go home happy. The thing is when you define your destination, it's easy to drive there. Number three, the journey is just as good as the destination. The journey is just as good as the destination. What I mean is, how you communicate is just as important as what you communicate. How you communicate is just as important as what you communicate. In New Zealand, they just got voted the top airline of the world. Like, they just, the best. That the best of the best. Like, Qantas, nothing. Emirates, nothing. The Etihad, nothing. Air Qatar, what even is that? No, it's not even that. Air Qatar, no. Like, in New Zealand, are the best. And the reason why is because they make the journey awesome. Like, the difference between Air New Zealand and Jetstar domestically, there's so many. Yeah, there's just so many differences. Like for example, the Air New Zealand have a clean cabin. Air New Zealand, they give you a cookie time cookie or some nice little corn chips. Let's go. A cup of tea, coffee. They make your journey awesome. They've got friendly flight attendants. They make sure that the captain comes over nice and loud. And they get you to the destination that you want to go on time most of the time. In New Zealand, they make the destination great and achievable, but they make the journey just as good. So what that means for us as preachers, as communicators, is that we've got to be taking kids on a journey while we speak. What that looks like is dynamics, or with dynamics. Like, highs and lows, loud and quiet. A bit of theater goes a long way. A bit of drama goes a long way. A bit of drama, throw in some drama, throw in some sound effects. Fart jokes are always a win, by the way. Just you throw that in there. If it's tanking, fart joke, I'm out of trouble. You know, like, but we've got to be able to go on a journey. Don't read off paper. I already said it, but preach from your heart. Have a clear beginning, middle, and the end. Have a clear beginning, middle, and the end. Go on a journey. The best messages have a really clear start, a really clear middle, and a really clear end. But most of all, just give it your all. If you've got 10 minutes on a Sunday morning, you should be dead at the end of those 10 minutes because you just threw your whole self at it. Like last night, I got off this, the stage last night at kids' conference, and my shoulders were sore. I was dehydrated. I was like just sweat. I wore 3 layers. It was a mistake. I wore a big fluffy hoodie and a big heavy jacket, and afterwards, like, oh, I just need to sleep. But the thing is the reason why I felt like that was because I gave it my all. I put my everything into that. I gave it my everything because I want to make sure that not just the destination of salvation, that's really important and that's our pinnacle, but we've got to take kids on the journey, and the journey's just as good as the destination. Is this good today? Are you enjoying it? Is this helpful? Okay, great. Well, number four is say one thing many times. Say one thing many times. From the start to the finish, everything should be just saying one thing. You know, studies show that the average attention span for a 10-year-old is 5 minutes. The average attention span of a 10-year-old is 5 minutes. That means that every 5 minutes, I've got to regather attention. Because if I don't, they're gone. I've lost them. So you've only got 5 minutes. In a 10-minute message, you've only got 5 minutes to land 2 points. Two lots of 5 minutes. So if you're trying to deliver too much, like if you've got 17 things you want to say, you're not going to be able to say them all if you want kids to walk away with the point of the whole day. So have one thing and say it many times. It would be like if I was to preach to you about living water. And I wanted to use this. And I was like, okay, I want to tell you about living water. And I'm going to preach to you about how good water is for your body. That's my message. And how good living water is for us. We need living water to survive. Our physical bodies need water to survive. Now, if I was going to do that, I wouldn't get up on stage and tell you about where the bottle was from, how good the screw top lid is, how much I way prefer pump bottles than this bottle, how much this bottle looks strange, and how 1875 was actually when water was discovered in the plant. No one cares, man. Just say one thing. If it's about water, make it about the water. I reckon sometimes what we do is we over-prepare and then under-deliver. With kids, I know I said your power's in your preparation, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the reality is that if we try and over-deliver the content, we'll end up under-delivering on the point. Because all we want to do is say one thing. Kids can only take on one main point. And everything else, from the title to the scripture to the personal story you put in there, everything else should relate to that one thing. You know, you should ask yourself this question. Does what I'm about to say communicate my main point? If not, just cut it out. Take it, copy and paste it, put it in a new document, or rub it out. If you still use pencil and paper, rub it out and write it down on a new bit of paper. Use that for a new message. But when you're preaching to kids, just say the one thing, and if it doesn't relate, just cut it out because it's not needed. It's not needed. I was going to say something else. 5 minutes. You've only got 5 minutes to land one train of thought. So in your 10-minute slot, don't try and land two trains. Just land one train and talk about the train twice, if that makes sense. Number five, what's in your hand is my question. What's in your hand? When I illustrated the point before about I'm speaking about water, I picked up my drink bottle. Why? Because what I did was I engaged another one of your senses. I engaged your visual learning sense. Now, the thing is about kids is that most kids watch TV right now. Most kids are watching TV right now. And I don't know if you watch kids' TV like I do. It's quite fun to watch, to be honest. Colors and fast-moving things. It's very fast. It's very in-your-face. Kids are watching things that stimulate what they watch, obviously. That's why they're watching it. So when we're communicating, we have to have something, too, that stimulates not just what they hear, because your voice might sound amazing like mine does, but if they're only hearing what you're saying and they're not seeing what you're doing, then you'll lose them. What I've found is that if I preach with something in my hand, I can keep people focused for longer. I don't know why it happens like this, but the moment I pull out a prop, like I could lose half the room, like, and just be preaching to the first, 10 kids that are at the front, and then pull out a prop, and all of a sudden everybody will be glued. It's because kids are interested in stuff that's colorful. Kids are interested in things that are bright, that are different, that they're not expecting. So when you've got a prop, ask yourself this question. Man, is it something that's going to make my main point memorable? Is it something that's going to make my main point memorable? Is it messy? Is it big? Is it colorful? Is it relatable? Is it exciting? Because all we want to do is we want to make sure that we're engaging kids. What we want to do over the 10 minutes that we're preaching or 15 minutes that we're preaching, we want to connect with the kids so that we can connect them with us so that then we can connect them with the King. That's what we want to do. The whole 10 minutes is that we just want to connect with the kids so that they get connected with us so that they can get connected to the King. That's what we want to do. So if we can engage more senses, different sounds, different bits of multimedia, a prop, whatever it is, as long as it's something that helps make the main point memorable, it's going to help you. Because remember, we just want to say one thing many times. There's nothing more boring than having someone just stand still and talk for 10 minutes. So we want to make sure that we keep them engaged, and we keep them engaged longer if we engage their senses. Number six, live your life at their level. Live your life at their level. When I was growing up, there were only two things that I liked when I was growing up. Pokemon and football. Those are the two things. That was it. Nothing else, just Pokemon and football. Now, though, every kid has a million things that they love, and it changes every second. You know, it's like, I love jam. Now I love peanut butter. Oh, I love Digimon. Oh, no, now I love Polly Pockets. I don't know. Like, it's so hard to keep up. But the thing is that our job as kids communicators is to try and be as relevant as possible. Now, that word can scare you, but it doesn't need to. Relevant just means that we're living life at their level. We're talking their language. We're doing the things that they are doing. The question I would ask you is, man, like, do you know what movies they like right now? And have you seen them? Do you know what music is cool right now? And have you listened to it? It's painful for a bit, okay? But it's actually surprisingly catchy, and it'll get you through some dark moments. It will. What programs are they watching on TV? Like, what's cool? Have you seen an episode? If you're talking to little kids and you're like, man, and if Dora the Explorer is still a cool thing for little kids, I don't even know. But if it's still a thing, man, like, swiper, no swiping, man. The devil's swiper. Tell devil no, no swiping, devil. That's a relatable message right there. What kind of games are they playing? What kind of games are they playing? And have you had a go? Yes, you'll lose, and it's okay. You'll lose at the game, but it's fine. Just give it a go. Because kids just want someone who is all in. Man, I wrote this down, and I think it's funny. Don't preach on house prices. Preach on homework. I've heard, like, some people get up, and, like, this probably doesn't happen at your church or wherever you're from in your ministry, but where I'm from, people get up, and they're like, they can sometimes just get nervous and then talk about just the wrong stuff that's just not relatable. Had this one person get up in a kid's offering and be like, man, My wife and I, first of all, okay, great. You're married. That doesn't, like, girls are gross to kids, man. The boys, girls are gross. They got cooties, you know, like, that's yuck, you know. At least play on that. Me and my wife, we're believing for a house. So what we did was, because we didn't have any money, we asked God and we prayed. And then we gave God some money. And what God did was he gave us back money, 15% the amount. We worked it out using a GST calculator. We went to a mortgage broker. The mortgage broker, they told us that we could have a mansion in Nainai, which is not a great place to live if you're from Wellington. It's not that great. But it was there, this mansion. So me and my wife, now we're thinking about our family, our 16 kids we're going to have. It's going to be real great. Grow the ministry, hashtag grow the ministry. And so now we're just going to grow. It's going to be great. But so you should give to God too. I was like, what? Like, if I'm a kid, you lost me. I don't know what's going on. Like, preach on homework. How sucky is homework? I hate homework. Yeah, I hate homework too. You know, like, homework is bad. Like, homework is bad. And you're just like, but it's good for you. And sometimes the stuff that is bad for you is actually good for you. The things that you think is bad for you are actually good for you. Things like reading your Bible, sitting down and reading for ages. I know that might sound boring. Probably not to you, because everybody loves reading apart from me. Okay, so that's great. But man, like, you can just go on tangents on stuff that's relatable to them. Don't preach on house prices, preach on homework. Here's a handy tip. In hangout time, hang out. Ask them questions. Like, don't be running around trying to fix your run sheet or trying to fix your service. If you didn't do any work beforehand to get that stuff already before the kids turn up for the half an hour that they're hanging out with you, then that's not good job, people. Like, my team, this is the moment for me that I realized. I was hanging out in the foyer with our kids, and I was like, this kid came up to me and he was like, Harry, how's it going? I was like, yeah, so good, bro. Bang, 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 handshake. and he was like, bro, I had the best week this week. I did this and this, and then I got a text came through, and I was like, bro, hold on, give me a second. And he was like, nah, all good, you're always on your phone. And I was like, oh, man, bro, that hurt. I just realized that his perception of me is that I'm always on my phone. I'm the pastor and I'm always on my phone. So in the minute of hangout, in that moment of relatability, I just lost all credibility because I was too busy trying to fix something. It was like something stupid like, hey, just let you know, one of the singers has got a sore throat. I was like, thanks for that important information. I didn't need to know that in the time. But the thing is that the devil will rob you of every opportunity to relate. The devil doesn't want you to relate, because if you can relate, you can actually show them that God is relatable. So we've got to make sure that we're doing everything we can to stay relatable and not letting the devil rob us of our relatability. So in hangout time, this is what I was saying, hang out, ask some questions. Man, what movie did you see this week? Have you seen a movie? What are you doing for the school holidays? School holidays are great for this because it's like they just do stuff all the time. It's like, how was school? How's that teacher? Bro, I remember that you said something about that kid who was bullying you. Bro, are you okay? Oh man, that's good. I'm glad that you're okay. I was praying for you this week. Oh, that's awesome. Bro, what have you been watching on TV? Ah, yeah, woo. Never seen it ever, but it's mean. You know, like, it's good. You're the man. You know, like, this guy loves me and loves my stuff. Yeah, I do, because I'm relatable and I care about you, and that's our job. I'm going to move on. Number seven is aim high but land low. Aim high but land low. I'm just going to take my jacket off because it's actually quite warm in here. Aim high but land low. Now, if you've got a room of, what I mean by that is that if you've got a room of 5 to 11-year-olds, aim for a 9-year-old boy. Why? Why do I say that? Well, if you aim too low, the older kids will be too cool. So if you've got a room of 5 to 11-year-olds and you aim at a 5-year-old, you lose your 10-year-old because your 10-year-old's actually a real big boy now. So I don't actually like the stuff that 5-year-olds like, so I'm not going to listen anymore. So if you aim it too low, the older kids will be too cool. But if you aim it at the girls, well, the boys will be too cool. And let's just be honest, you and I, we both know that girls listen to everything anyway. So, you know, they'll just pick up whatever. But the boys, like I said, girls have got cooties. Ooh, yuck. Polly Pockets, ooh, nail polish. Makes me vomit. You know. So if you aim it at girls, you'll lose the boys. If you aim it too high, though, the thing is that the little kids will pick up some points and go with the flow. I love how little kids just, like, operate, you know? Like, they're like, if an older kid laughs, they'll be like, ha, 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 and they'll keep laughing even though it's not funny anymore. Ha, what were you laughing at? Don't know. It's like, So the thing is that if we aim high, we can get everybody. We can get everybody. And if we aim at what I do is I picture a 9-year-old boy in my head. I had one kid in my ministry who I was like, that's the guy I'm preaching to. I'm preaching to this guy. And what I found was that if I preached to a 9-year-old boy, what I learned was that everybody gets everything. Because the little kids will pick up what we're putting down. The older kids will relate to you because it's not uncool to them. The girls will just follow along because the girls are just the most behaved ever. And the boys are all connected because you're preaching to them. So when we're preaching, we want to aim it higher in our message. Our temptation is to preach lower, to preach to the ones that we know are like little, easy to like click with, like connect with because they're just like cute and fluffy and squishy and stuff, and we just want to talk to them. But the thing is that we can't do that. We've got to make sure that we aim it high. Aiming high means that you can engage the full range. What I mean by landing low is that we have to minister to the innocence of children. We have to minister. In those ministry moments, we have to minister to the innocence of the children. What I mean by that is that when I was preaching at a thing last year, it was really special. It was our Guy Fawkes night. We were having a Guy Fawkes extravaganza. We'd hired out this retreat. We were going to blow a whole bunch of stuff up at the end. It was going to be awesome. And the roof was really low. It was quite dark, quite hot. And it was this moment of ministry. And I came into it and I was like a bit frustrated because there was a bunch of stuff that wasn't going right. But a bunch of kids were there. Biggest night that we'd had. It was awesome. And a whole bunch of kids were there. And we came into this ministry moment and God's presence just fell in the room. Like it was tangible, like goosebumps. Kids are crying. Like it was like, okay, God is definitely here. At the end of the night, it was amazing. We had like 30 or 40 people make a decision for Jesus, whether for the first time or recommitment. It was incredible. And at the end of the night, our campus pastor, her name is Anna, she comes over and she's like, Harry, that was incredible. I was like, oh yeah, nah, glory to God. He's the man, you know. And he's like, no, but you need to know that the Holy Spirit just did something real special. And I was like, what do you mean? And she said, well, the thing is that the Holy Spirit just then, instead of speaking down to the kids and coming down on top of them, what I saw the Holy Spirit do for the first time in my life is I saw the Holy Spirit come down and get eye to eye on their level. And what she said to me was that the Holy Spirit ministered at a level that was lower than what I was at. See, when I'm on a stage, I'm actually 7 foot tall. I'm Goliath. These guys are little Davids down here. So the thing about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit comes, because there is no junior Holy Spirit and there is only one Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will always want to minister at their level. Wherever you're at, the Holy Spirit will come to you. And if that's true for you, then it's true for kids too. And the Holy Spirit just desires to come down low, come down and get in amongst it. The Holy Spirit just wants to come down and sit down and start to have a communication, have a conversation, start to minister with kids one-on-one. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So it's our job to facilitate that. As ministers, it's our job to create an environment where the Holy Spirit can come and move and land on lives. The way that we do that is real simple. Don't yell. Don't yell and shout. You know, the thing is that as a minister, we see people like just before, Rich Wilkerson Jr. is amazing. And I'm like, I want to be like Rich Wilkerson Jr. And so what I could really easily do is I could rock into kids tomorrow morning to do our ministry session. I'll be like, yo, wah! You know, like get all rich up in here. And then in the ministry time, like, come on, sing. I yell. God is here for you right now. He loves you with all of his heart. He died for you on the cross. Yeah, power of God. And I could do that. But the thing is that's what adults need, because adults are stubborn, man. We got lots of layers we just need to break, you know, like we need it to be pierced through us. But kids, they just need to be told the truth. Kids are just open. They're ready. They just want to know. Like, tell me. If that's who God is, then that's who God is. I just need Jesus. So we don't need to yell and shout. We just need to come down and be at their level. Just tell them the truth. God is here. I feel his presence. I don't know if you can, but I want you to be nice and brave. And on the count of three, I'm going to make it real simple for you to encounter God tonight. I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to get you to close your eyes, because when we focus on God, we close our eyes. I know it sounds weird, but to focus on God, we close our eyes. And then what we do is we lift both of our hands. One hand to say, God, here I am for you. And the other hand to say, God, would you speak to me right now? This is also the sign of surrender, because we've just given our everything to God. I believe God's about to speak to you. So here's what we're going to do. Right now, why don't you do those three things? One, two, three, stand to your feet. Throw up your hands. I'm going to pray and the band are going to sing. God, I pray right now that you would speak to us. Father, I thank you that you're here. I pray that you would minister right now in Jesus' name. And then sing. And what you've done is you've just engaged a room, and now all of a sudden everybody is encountering a Holy Spirit who comes and lands low. We aim it high in the message, but we land it low in ministry. We aim it high in the message, but we aim it low. We land it low in the ministry time. Thank you, Jesus. I reckon every boy needs to know that they can do it and that they are loved. Every boy, they need to know that they can do it and that they are loved. I believe that every girl needs to know that they are special, that they are precious to God, and that they are loved. So it's our job to facilitate an environment where the Holy Spirit can communicate that. And we do that by landing low and aiming high. Number 8, focus helps the feeding. Focus helps the feeding. Have you ever tried to take a drink from a cup or a bottle and then totally just miss your mouth? You know, you're like, man, I'm thirsty, pour it in my eye. You know, like, oh man, it's so hot in my ear. You know, like, I'm parched up my nose. That's drowning. That's not good. You shouldn't do that. The thing is that you missed your mouth because you weren't focusing, right? Well, the truth is the same for kids. We're trying to feed them spiritual food. But if they're not focused, they can't get the feeding. They can't feed if they're not focused. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we help engage their focus so we can help feed them. The same way kids can't talk and listen at the same time. Sorry, in the same way, kids can't talk and listen at the same time. Kids will always listen to whatever the loudest noise is in the room. They'll always listen to it. So if their mate's talking to them and you're talking to them, the chances are they're probably listening to your mate more than they're talking to you. If they're talking, the space from their mouth to their own ears, from my mouth to where your ears right now, is a lot shorter to get that distance. They're going to be listening to whatever they're saying. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that they're not talking. And a tip for you would be this. I want to see your listening eyes and see your listening ears. Have you ever tried to listen with your eyes? No. It's weird. Talk to me. Go. What that means is, excuse me, is to look at the person who's speaking. That way I know that you're listening. Because where your eyes are, there your ears are too. So I want to see your listening eyes and your listening ears. Can I see everybody's listening eyes? Can I see everybody's listening ears? Brilliant. And then keep talking. Every time I lose them, let me see those listening eyes. You've got great. Look at those blue listening eyes. Refocus to good behavior. Is this helpful? Sorry, I'm now choking on my own dry throat. Number 9, leave pride at the door. Number 9 is leave pride at the door. Pride, the dictionary says pride is consciousness of one's own dignity. Being conscious of your own dignity. I kind of define pride as being more concerned with being cool than being connected. You have to leave your pride at the door, man. Kids ministry, you just have to leave it at the door. Like, just leave your pride packed up in your backpack at the door. Because the thing is that if you're not willing to take a cream pie or 2,000 to the face, if you're not willing to laugh at fart jokes every now and again, farts are funny, man. Just get over it. Farts are funny to kids. Farts are funny. You're going to have to just get over it and accept the truth. Farts are funny. If you're not willing to laugh at some farts, to take some cream pies, or to get down and dirty with the kids, then you're never going to be able to connect. Because kids will connect to whoever's all in. If you want to connect with kids, then you've got to be all in. If you want your message to be dynamic, you've got to be all in. I can't tell you the amount of times I've left blinded from real cream in my eyes at the end of a service because they cream pie me and they're like, do it again! And everyone's like, yes! I'm like, no! And again, and then I'm like, cream in the eyes is the worst. Shaving foam in the eyes is worse though, so I way prefer cream. Anyway, in Psalm 10 verse 4, it'll come up on the screen, but it says this. This is a verse that got me and I was like, oh no, ouch. It says this, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Man, I want to have my heart connected with God so that I can connect with kids. And if we're prideful, if we're more worried about, man, my nice new shirt that I just bought, my new shoes that I've got so I can't get dirty today, I can't be all in today because I'm the bee's knees and I got to look good for afterwards, you know. Well, then we're never going to connect because that's prideful. And even if we do connect, we're just sowing the wrong seeds because we're not sowing God. So we've got to make sure that in our mind, there is full submission to God. And the way that we do that is by leaving our pride at the door and being all in. The coolest to the kids are the ones who are all in. Hands down, every time. Number 10, Play the full 90. Play the full 90. Now, you may have heard it said, play the full 80. I'm a footballer, so I play more time because I'm a real athlete. Amen. Jokes. Funniest thing, I got a concussion. It's actually not that funny. I got a concussion last year playing football, in a game that's actually not supposed to be contact. Got a concussion, so now I don't play football, so I'm not even an athlete at all. Bring it on, Pies. so good. Play the full 90. What I mean by that is nail the message. Nail the message. Like, be all in. You've got 10 minutes, 15 minutes, if you're being generous to yourself. 15 minutes to nail the message. We've got someone in our church. His name is Jeff Tu'umanga Allen, and he's one of my greatest friends. We did a bunch of courses when I first came to church together. He walked me through a lot of the early years of my Christianity. He plays for the Hurricanes and is an All Black as well. And I talked to him about, like, he's sponsored by Asics. Asics aren't cool. Like, just being real, Asics aren't cool shoes. And I was like, bro, surely playing in Nikes would make you a better rugby player. Like, at least a cooler player, And he's like, bro, nah, it doesn't matter what shoes I wear. It doesn't matter what tools I use. At the end of the day, as long as I go out and play my best and give it my all, then I can walk away feeling happy. I walk away feeling fine. It's the same when we preach. I get asked all the time, should I preach off paper or iPad? What do you do? What do you think's better? Well, I think iPad's better just because I can't read my own handwriting. I'm like, write something down. I'm like, this is good message. Get up there. I'm like, sorry, guys, We're just going to have to, we'll just pray and finish. I can't read it, So now I have it all on iPad because I can go back. I can find messages that I preached a year ago. And if it's like, you know what, we're actually going to change the masterclass to this time that Harry farted in class and it was awkward, then we could do that today because I've got it all here. But it actually, to be honest, doesn't matter. If you're using technology, pen, paper, or the bottom of your foot, if you want to write your notes down there, probably not recommended, but you could if you wanted to. It doesn't actually matter what tool you use, just as long as you give it your best. Be well prepared. Man, I would really encourage you not to fade off during the altar call. The altar call is the final 5 minutes that the whole message builds up to. This is the moment that we've been waiting for. This is the moment where we go and we rob hell and then we like fill it in heaven. We like take souls back from the devil. And I know some people can get really like, oh, should we do altar calls in kids ministry? Heck yes, we should do altar calls in kids ministry. Totally we should. Absolutely. Do you want to know how many times I lifted my hand as a kid growing up in church? Like every Sunday, I was like, yeah, I do actually want Jesus. Yes, I do. I'm a sinner, Lord. I'm sorry. I picked my nose and I ate my bogeys. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. The thing is, though, is that as a kid, you never know what's going on beneath the surface. So as we do the altar call, we should totally approach it like it's a brand new message. In fact, in my notes, what I write is start again. I preach for 15 minutes and then I go to an altar call. It's time to start again. Because it's just a reminder to myself, it's not the end of my message, it's the start of a brand new one. So when I come to my altar call, man, I'm going to start it again. I'm going to go all in. Do you want to know a funny fact? Not that funny, but it's a fact. Most games are won and lost in the final minutes of the game. In the final 5 minutes, most games are won or lost in those 5 minutes. I would say in the final 5 minutes of your message, of your altar call, it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. You're about to win or you're about to lose based on the next 5 minutes. So the way that you approach it is really, really important. I don't want it to be heavy today, but I just want to be real. Take your time. In an altar call, don't rush it. You don't need a 40-point sermon on how Jesus died, came back again, and it's like related all through the Bible and there's heaps of little connections. Just tell them the truth. Jesus died on the cross as our sin, took it all the bad stuff. What is sin? Well, sin is the Christian word for all the bad stuff in the world. All the lying, all the cheating, all the stealing, all the bad stuff, all the bullying. Anything that bad that happens in you, to you, or through you, that's sin. And what Jesus did was he took it all on himself. Why? Well, because God and sin, they don't mix. God can't be where sin is. So what God did was, and you go through it, and you take your time. You lay out a really clear road for them to walk into the decision of salvation. Take your time. Be really clear. Like, don't, if you take your time, you will be clear. Because if you talk slowly, you'll be clear. So just take your time. Relax. Now, the moment when you're like, okay, here we go. This is the way I do altar calls. Feel free to take it. It's pretty universal. but It's like, okay, we're going to close our eyes, we're going to bow our heads, because I want this to be a moment, a private moment between me, you, and God. I'm going to ask you and give you an opportunity and find out who we're going to pray for today. So what I want to do, so I know who I'm praying for, what I want you to do is on the count of three, not yet, but when I get to three, I want you to lift your hand nice and high in the air. No one's looking around. It's just me, you, and God, so I know who I'm praying for. One, I'm praying for you if you've never prayed this prayer, asking God to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior and your best friend. Two, maybe you prayed this prayer ages ago, but today you're saying, Harry, I want to get my life right with God. Three, with every eye closed, why don't you lift that hand? This is the moment where it gets awkward because nobody might lift their hands. And I've been there so many times where it's like, lift your hands now. 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 You know, it's like, it's awkward. And what I found is that it's just as awkward for everybody sitting down. I don't know if you've ever sat in an altar call before. You probably have. But it's awkward if the preacher's not talking. It's awkward because you're like, man, maybe the time that you made your decision. You're like, man, I know that I need to lift my hand. I know that he's talking to me, but I don't want to be the only one. I don't want to be the only one, so I'm just going to wait until someone else lifts their hand. So what we do is we talk. One, two, three. Lift your hand right now. Awesome, awesome. This is amazing. This is the moment that's going to change your life forever. I see that hand. It's an awesome decision. Hands are going up all over the place. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're not alone. Thank you, thank you. God is on the move. Thank you, thank you. Your life will never be the same. Come on, I believe that there is still more. I reckon there could be some more. And I'm not saying that out of a manipulative thing. Like, I'm saying that because in my head, throughout my whole message, I'm having two conversations. I'm talking to God and I'm talking to people. And I'm like, God, okay, when I get to this altar call, this is actually where you have to just take over. You have to do you, boo-boo. You just come do you. I'm relying on you. And so God, I'm like, okay, God, how many left? How many left? What do you reckon? I reckon there's two. I reckon there's two more people. I reckon there's two more people. Bang, bang. There's still another two people. I reckon there's two more people. Awesome. And there's a moment when you do your altar call where you'll arrive at the point and you're like, yeah, that's it. That's awesome. You guys are amazing. I know there's no more hands left. I know everybody's ready to go. And then I pray the prayer. Let me say this to you too, that if no one lifts their hands in an altar call, it's not a reflection on you. Don't let the devil tell you that you suck because no one lifted their hands. You never know what's going on in a kid's heart. You never know. If you go, oh man, I suck, I quit, I'm never preaching again, I quit, I'm out. Well then, man, you just let the devil have full control over your destiny. You're in the room today because you're a preacher. You're in the room today because you're a communicator. Whether you know it or not yet, God has a plan for your life. And before I start preaching the time I'm meant to be teaching, let me tell you this. God has got a plan for you, and it's to be an effective communicator. It doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. Let me tell you that for the last 3 years, I've been just making it up, and God's been really faithful. Here's what I know, is that if I give God my all, he'll do the rest. If I put all of my focus into my preparation and get to this moment where I'm fully reliant on his power because I'm plugged into God, I'm plugged into his presence, God will start to do the rest. I believe that kids are going to start making decisions. I believe it. So when I hit that altar call, I take my time, I'm really clear, and I keep talking. Celebrate whether it's one or 100 who respond. Heaven's actually more pumped about no numerical number. So if one person makes a decision, the same party's going on if 300 make a decision in one night. So if you're like on a Sunday morning and you're like, one kid made a decision, man, heaven is going crazy. Party. But if there's 100, we're like, I'm so amazing. I was like, this is amazing. But heaven's not changed by the numerical difference. Only our hearts are. And I think that that's where we have to arrest our hearts and go, is this pride again? Have I just got prideful right now? And leave that behind. Because God doesn't care if it's one or 100. He's the one who leaves the 99 for the one. It's a reckless kind of love. And it's a love that I love and I'm grateful for. And that, in Jesus' name, is my 10 top tips. How good? How good? Okay, we're going to run through them again. We're going to run through them again just in case you miss any, and then we're going to have some Q&A because I've still got 21 minutes and 2 seconds. So number one is your power is in your prep. Number two, define your destination. Number three, the journey is just as good as the destination. Number four, say one thing many times. Number five, what's in your hand? Number 6, live life at their level. Number 7, aim high, land low. Number 8, focus helps the feeding. Number 9, leave your pride at the door. Number 10, play the full 90. You know, I really want to say this over you, and I kind of switched into preaching mode because it was funny as I was talking about the Holy Spirit, I actually felt the Holy Spirit come in the room. And I really do believe that God is here, and I want to prophetically declare over every single person in this room that you're not here by mistake. This week is a week that's going to define your life. It's going to define your ministry. And I declare that from this moment on, whether you know that, whether you feel like it's gone good or whether you feel like it's gone bad, I declare that every kid that hears a message that you preach, that the best is yet to come over their life and over your life. I prophetically declare that over every person hearing this right now, whether you're listening to a recording or whether you're listening here right now, I declare, Lord, that every church, every ministry would be open. Every heart would be fertile. Every seed that is sown would bear good fruit. Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity to preach to the church of tomorrow today. God, I pray that you would help us be faithful. Help us be focused in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Okay. We've got another microphone that is going to be handed around, and I'd love to just do some Q&A with you. Thank you that I didn't have to stall that long. How good is that? Go for it.
How long do you take to prepare a 10-minute message?
Now? It's a good question. It depends, eh? When I first started, I would prep maybe 4 hours. 4 hours. But that was because I was I was doing the internship school, and I had a lot of time to just do that. So in a busy environment now, I would probably spend maybe a couple of hours on it. But the thing is that the more that I prep, the more time I spend in His presence. So in a week leading up to a message that I have to preach, I would probably spend my devotional time as that time that I prepare. So I've just started doing 45 minutes to an hour in my car before work. So I'll get up earlier now, have a shower, go get a tea, go to the waterfront, park up, pray, and just have time with God. I use that time to prepare messages now. So I might do that 2 or 3 times a week plus extra time. And so that might add up to three or four hours. But yeah, I would rather over-prepare and spend more time in God's presence and then have to cut content back than get to the Sunday and go, man, I just stuffed that up because I didn't spend enough time preparing. So that's what I do personally. I know that some people, like I've got a mate who like I've like had to really not compare myself with hard out because he's amazing. And he can basically look at the curriculum and like, yeah, I'm going to preach this, spend an afternoon writing it, get up, and like everyone's just wrecked with God, you know? So it's like, it's definitely up to your own capacity. I've learned personally that I need more time in God's presence because I haven't had a lot of years in church. Like I grew up in kids' church, then left church, came back to church 6.5 years ago. And that whole time it's been really intensive in ministry school and working for a church. So so that's kind of my journey. But yeah, you just figure it out. I don't think you can prep for too long. You can prep too much material and preach too much material, but you can't prep for too long. Yeah, yeah. If that makes sense, yeah. Other questions today? Brilliant. Any questions? A good question.
Sorry, I'm just finishing the lollies that are...
By are there way, lollies on the table?
There's lollies in here, guys.
Oh, man, check that out. There's lollies in the little containers. How good is that? You just made this whole masterclass so much better. Thank you for your participation. Was that your question or no? Because it's a welcomed addition. I think that mic is just cut out at the back. I think that mic just cut out. Is it working?
Hello. Oh yes. Hi, I'm Bulla. So my name's Fee. And the question that I have is, so you can be a very passionate leader yourself. What would 3 tips be? Your top 3 to inspire passionate as just the challenge with children's ministry, which is a very big reality I know in our church, is that we can be passionate, but inspiring, I guess, the other parents and the other adults to come and to serve and to, yeah, to be communicating to the children the way that, you know, we're learning about today.
Okay, so is your question two parts? Your question is how do I ask me in simple sentences what your question is, and I'll be able to answer it.
Me your top three or top five, yep, or top 10, I got time, to how to inspire
other adults to be
dynamic communicators, I guess.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, the first thing you can do is give them this recording of this whole session. No, jokes. I think that for me, I've learned that all kingdom work is relational. So as the pastor or as a communicator, I have to work really hard at making sure that my team are as passionate as I am, and understand that my passion is an overflow of my own personal experience. Yeah. So if someone's not passionate, it's not because they're not passionate outwardly, it's just because they haven't gone on the journey yet. Yeah. So inspiring passion is just doing relationship with them, having relationship with them, doing life alongside them. If you want to inspire your team, like, I would recommend having a night at your house where you pay for all the food, don't get them to bring anything, and bless them, and then just be like, guys, what I want to do is I want to share my heart. I want to share with you the reason why I do what I do. And if you can do that and they can catch your why, then they'll have a why of their own. And I think that that is the thing that makes the difference in dynamic. I'm passionate because my life got radically changed. I had no future, no hope, no direction. God came into my life and I've heard God's voice. I know that He's real. I've seen healings in my own family. Like, I just know. I know that I know. That's my passion. So if you've got team that don't know that they know, take them on the journey relationally so that they know. In inspiring adults, I think that the biggest thing that you can do is tear the veil between kids' church and adult church. And what I mean by that is, like, often kids' church is locked away in a side room or behind in this other room. In our building at the Michael Fowler Center in Wellington, we have a huge thick wooden wall that separates the church for the kids, and that's a health and safety thing, so we can't get rid of that, so we need to keep it. So what, using photos and multimedia and trying to get stage time if you can, we can't do that at our church because our stage time is already real tight. So what we do is we've been really intentional with our social media, making sure that we have a parents' Facebook page that we put photos and highlights up from Sunday, sending curriculum out early if there's any video content that we have. Basically what I'm saying is put the passion in their hands. Like, give them all the tools to be passionate at their house. I think that maybe answers the question, hopefully, maybe. Yeah, cool, thanks. We can keep talking about it if you want. But It's a journey and it's not an overnight change. It takes a while. Yeah. Other questions? Anything else? I've still got 12 minutes, so we can go for the whole 12. Over here, I think there's a couple hands.
Hey, what would just be some practical responses you'd have? So you're preaching and you've got a kid that might just make a real, you know, like a real loud comment about the board, or, you know, just something that, you know, could throw you, but, you know, you don't want it to. But, yeah, what are just some things you would use, some ways to get them engaged or forget about it?
Yeah. I think this is like just an occupational hazard of preaching to kids, you know, like heckling, you know, so good. What I've done in the past is if it's just a one-off thing and it's just a random thing, I'll just like laugh, you know. And then Jesus said, broccoli. He might have, not in the Bible though. What he did say was, you know, and address it and move on. I think the main thing that's really important is that everything from the stage needs to be positive. Everything from the stage. So you need to then work with your team about being real good at ground control. So when you're flying the rocket ship, ground control is sorting out all the nitty gritties so that you can just preach real good and land the rocket ship, if that makes sense. I just use a rocket metaphor. How good? Metaphor? Analogy. So I think that if you you can ignore them, you can correct it. But I think what we want to do is we want to try and get our ground team working. And if they're not, then one of the things that we have at our church is we resolve all negatives positively. So if it's negative, I have to resolve it positively. So when I first started preaching, we used to give away Fritto frogs to good behaved kids, well behaved kids, good behaved English. I would grab some Fritto frogs, put it on my pulpit, and be like, today I'm looking for 5 kids that are showing a Rise Kids culture, that's sitting up nicely, not talking while I'm talking, and using their listening eyes and their listening ears. And then if it starts to get loose, I'd be like, I found my first Fredo. And then everyone's like, oh, I want a Fredo frog. And it was like, you know. And again, I've got 5 minutes until I lose their attention span. That's a 10-year-old. And I think that it gets even shorter as they get younger. So you've just got to roll with it. Yeah, does that answer the question? Yeah, cool.
Cool. My question would be about the altar calls. Do you do them every service? And what would be the process after with the children who make a decision? Like, do you provide them with, like, Bibles and materials or anything like that? Or pray with them? Yeah, what do you do after?
I think it depends on the size of your congregation. I preached one message where I didn't do an altar call because I ran out of time. I got off the stage and my mentor was like, you did everything awesome apart from an altar call. Like, we need to give somebody the opportunity to respond to Jesus in every session that we have. So that's kind of an Arise mantra that we have, is that every service we have, from the youngest kids to the oldest adults, we give everybody an opportunity to respond to Jesus, because we don't know what's happened in that week. We don't know where people are at with their relationship with God. And for kids, like, you never know, like, for them, like, one kid makes decisions every week, and we sat down with him and like, man, it's been 15 decisions in a row. That's awesome, bro. That's a new record. That's awesome. Bro, what's going on? And we didn't know that when he goes home, his dad and his mum were going through a divorce, and he felt responsible. So every time he heard the gospel, he was like, Jesus is the only one that I feel loves me, and so I'm reaching out for him. And so I was like, okay, cool. Well, this is good to know. Now that we know this, then we can work that out. But well, I say that to say that you never know who's walking in the kids program that day. So I would always do one. It doesn't need to be heavy and long. Like, it can be short and sharp and simple. In terms of what we give people, at Arise Kids right now, we currently don't have a resource that we give anybody, especially because we have a lot of repeat decision people. So we would just make a note and then follow up. In our intermediates ministry, we give everybody who makes a decision a Bible, and we pull them out of the service, and we have we recorded a video that we play that explains the decision more, and then they'll catch up with the leader for 30 seconds. Hey, why did you make that decision? We just want you to know that you're the man. What's really cool is that now you've got God, and you don't need to make this decision again, but if you ever feel like you need to, you can. But God's here. He loves you. I'd love to pray with you. This is a copy of the Bible. Read it. It's going to be good for you. And then we send them home with that. We're looking at developing some resource. I think you can give them something. Like, I think that's cool. I know that churches give their kids bookmarks. Some churches give them notebooks. Some just give them a pen. Some give them the lolly. It's up to you and what you want to do. But I think that there's no wrong way of doing it. I personally am convicted that the only wrong way of doing it is not doing it at all. And that's just my own personal conviction. Does that make sense? Cool. Thank you. Any other questions? We've got a couple of minutes left, and I think we'll have time for two more questions, maybe.
Just in regards to what's in your hand, and particularly the visual senses, do you try and mix it up a bit? I mean,
yes.
The kids are pretty saturated with screen time and stuff these days, but you know, we still try and use a bit of that, but also just other stuff, practical props, and you know, something that's a little bit more old school, but still visually,
yeah.
You know, it's something. Or
yeah, look, I think the point was what's in your hand, not what's on your screen. Yeah. You know, so I think that. My personal conviction is that you definitely want to have something in your hand if you can. Tomorrow morning I'm preaching at KidsConf and it's just multimedia, but when I preach the message for time, I had another prop that I'd use, but for this time I won't use it because we don't need it. So I would mix it up for sure, like definitely go hard. I think that, you only go wrong if you have something that's not relatable to your one point. So if it's a hard out concept that's real hard to grasp, then that's not going to help you preach your point. So have something in your hand that helps make the main point memorable, and then you can't go wrong. Yeah, but I definitely think, yeah, go for it. Yeah. Do we have time for one more maybe, bro? Yeah, one more? One more question if you've got one. Yeah, at the back, yeah. Is that you, bro? You got another question? Yeah, go for it, yeah.
Can you tell us about how you develop other people in your team and their speaking? Like, you're a great speaker, but how much platform time do you give? Are you strategic about it? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, cool. No, you're definitely strategic about it. There are moments and seasons that we don't put anybody who's not who hasn't had experience up on stage. There's moments for that. But I also think that you First of all, okay, what we do is we identify someone, we catch up with the person, be like, you would make a great kids communicator. 9 times out of 10, they're like, nah, no, I wouldn't. I'm like, yes, yes, you would. and then we're like, hey, I'd love you to MC a game with me on Sunday. MC the game, see how they go. Bro, you did mean. What I do is I just change this one thing. You did these three things really good. You just need to change this one thing or work on this one thing. Then from there, we get them to do that a couple of times. Hey, I'd really love you to do an offering in kids' church. Like, real simple, walk it through, how do we do it? Then after a while, like, hey, how would you feel about tackling this message? I'd love to do it with you, like, let's write it together. Or if you want to write it by yourself and then come to me, we can talk about it, let's do it. And then encouraging them. I think the main thing is encouragement. Three good things, one bad thing. Like, I think if I have the tendency to be like three bad things and one half good thing, you know, it's like, I was like, it was really, yeah, it was good, but all these things sucked about it, you know, like, and it's not you, you don't suck, but just the way you delivered it was, and that's fine. And we pray for us later. But I think that in build-ups to big seasons, so for us, we wouldn't, in the 6 weeks leading up to our conference, we wouldn't put anybody up to preach other than our pastors, because we're trying to build culture, we're trying to build expectation coming into our conference. But then outside of that, like, I think that it's pretty fair game, and you have to use discernment and figure it out. And we plan our preaching roster dream state a month in advance. At the moment, it's kind of 2 weeks in advance. So, I'd like to get to a point where we're 6 weeks in advance so that we can give people time to prepare properly and do the journey with them. Yeah, yeah. Is that cool? Awesome. Hey, well, thanks so much, guys. That is it from me. Thank you very much. I'm going to hand back over to Lionel and the
team. Come on, let's give him a big hand.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Harry. Awesome. We're going to have a break now for 30 minutes. We'll have afternoon tea outside, and then we'll come back at 3 o'clock. So have an awesome afternoon tea. Be back at 3, and then we're going to have Crystal and Jeremy come and talk to us. Awesome.